Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll read, let's go back to verse 13 and read through verse 18. From verse 13. Together, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. May God bless his words to our hearts today. The church's armor, prayer. A beloved in Jesus Christ, King David said, "When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.'" That was referring to prayer. St. Augustine wrote almost 2,000 years ago, "Prayer is the key that opens heaven." John Calvin said, "Prayer is the chief exercise of faith." More recently, a theologian wrote, he said, "Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint on his knees." When he sees the weakest saint on his knees. They were all right. Prayer is an essential weapon in the Christian's fight against the devil, the world, and our flesh. You need prayer to fend off the devil, and you need prayer to fight for God's kingdom. And you will hear about this today. Six headings today: pray constantly, pray comprehensively, pray passionately, pray through the Spirit, pray watchfully, pray for all believers. Our goals are that you'll be thankful for and use the armor the Lord has given you to fight to protect yourself and to conquer the world for Jesus Christ. First, pray constantly. Well, the Ephesian Christians had no weapons of themselves, so they needed help from God to fight off the devil when he attacked them and when he tried to quell the advancing of the kingdom of Jesus Christ through evangelism. And we've looked at many of those weapons already. And this last one here is that we see how God gave the Ephesians the weapon of prayer. By this, they would be able to plead for everything they needed for this cosmic battle. Now, it's true, some people say, "Oh, prayer is not really a weapon, it's only a preparation for battle." But prayer is described here as a tool, something we use in a fight. That makes it a weapon, and we will use it that way. Now, because the weapon was so essential on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, on a minute basis, God wanted the Ephesian Christians to always pray. So when they felt tired, which is a great time for the sneaky snake to come in and try to put thoughts into your head to make you sin against God, then you need to pray. You know, when you're tired, you get irritable, you're not thinking about prayer, that's when you need to pray. When you're busy, that's the time when many people ignore prayer. That's when you actually have to stop and pray. There are many things to do, you say. Oh, good. Then you need more prayer. Stop and pray. When they're going through hard times, remember, like Peter looking at the wind and the waves and starting to sink, that's when he prayed, and that's when you need to pray. when things were going well for the Ephesians and for you, when they were healthy, when the job was great, when the children were doing their homework without being told. They had to pray. And that's for us too. It's praying always. Look at a few passages. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Together. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Romans 12:12. Together. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Together. Pray without ceasing. You couldn't get it more succinctly than that. Pray without ceasing. So a few lessons now. The fact is this: no man can wield the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, evangelize properly without constant prayer. Even put it in a shorter way, you can't fight without prayer. You can't fight without prayer. So it makes sense then, number two, to constantly pray. And wouldn't you want to stand under the banner of the one who never lost a war? I mean, the devil thought he had won against Jesus when he died on the cross, and up from the grave he arose. And that's the one you're next to. That's the one you are able to talk to. So you want to be close to him so you can talk to him constantly. He has the ability and the desire to help. Third, the devil can't defeat a praying Christian. Someone wrote in the words of a poem, "Restraining prayer, we cease to fight. Prayer makes the Christian armor bright. And Satan trembles when he sees the meanest or the most ordinary saint upon his knees." He can't lose with prayer. You can't win without prayer. So you might be praying, wanting someone to hear, believe the gospel. You might be evangelizing them. Always accompany that with prayer. Second, we are to pray comprehensively. Yeah, we must pray always, constantly, but we must also pray comprehensively for all things at all times. Now consider some of the different circumstances for prayer the Ephesians had to consider. They were to pray in their minds, and they were to pray with their voices. It's not just inside, it's also outside. They were to pray privately when they're in their closets, and they were to pray publicly when they were in the restaurant. They were to pray for the destruction of evil, and they were to praise God for his tender mercies. They were to pray in prosperity, and they were to pray in adversity. They were to pray when they were happy and excited, and they were to pray when they were sad. They were to pray when they were in good relations with the Lord, and they were to pray and confess their sins when they sinned against God. So you are to pray for all things and all kinds of things. So brothers and sisters, learn a few things. Pray everywhere. Yeah, pray in your closet. Pray in the restaurant. Pray while you're driving, with your eyes open, of course. And not just so you will get where you're going safely. That's true. You should do that. But that's the time you get to talk to God about things that are happening. Maybe you think of the people in the church and go over them in your mind, the names that are there and the needs that they have. And you can talk to God just like you are talking to your friend. Because he is the friend of the Christian. and talk to him when you are driving. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You're in the shower. Talk to God. He hears you there as well. Pray everywhere. And then pray for everything. Pray when your baby is sick. And you know what? Let that child hear that you're talking to God from the time he's in the cradle. Pray that your husband will come home in a good mood. Who doesn't like that? Well, who remembers to pray for that? Pray your children will do their homework. Don't just yell. Well, there shouldn't be yelling anyway, but pray that they will do their homework as well. Pray for strength to shovel the snow. Maybe children, you can pray that your dad will come home safely. Do you ever think about doing that? Instead of thinking, what's he going to bring? Pray that God will bring him home safely. It's not easy sometimes driving on the road. They're crazy people, they're drug addicts on the road. Many things can happen. Pray. Pray exhaustively. Pray for all kinds of things, even the smallest things. And that's the third application. When you pray everywhere and for everything, you're acknowledging that God cares even for the smallest things in your life. That God cares for the hair on your head. Every single one of them has a number. And this will glorify him. And by the way, you know when you pray for your little child when he's in the cradle, that child starts to hear who you go to for help. He understands that there's someone bigger, someone who loves you, someone who cares about you. And when that child is older, that child is more likely to praise the God who helped you. So don't be afraid to pray for all kinds of things everywhere, because you are acknowledging God cares about even the smallest thing in your life. Third, pray passionately. It is always good to pray, and it is always good to pray everywhere and for all kinds of things. But the Ephesian Christians had to pray with the intensity of spirit for extremely difficult things. You see, not all prayers are the same. I mean, you're going out in your car, you don't do supplication. Maybe Friday night you probably needed supplication driving in that weather. But normally you would say, Lord, take me there safely. You might pray in your mind or you might pray aloud. And that's just a simple prayer. But there are times when you have more intense prayer. Remember, there was one time when the disciples couldn't cast out the demon from someone, and the Lord says, you know what? This one takes a little bit more work. This one requires fasting and praying. So there are different types of prayer. And this one is an imploring request. Supplication. Supplications are prayers from deep within your spirit. So what might the Ephesian Christian make supplication for before God? Why did he talk about supplications here? Well, they might have to make supplication for a loved one who did not believe and maybe was close to death. And you take time to pray more intensely for that person. Or you might make supplication if a war or a famine or a disease was about to break out. Maybe this is a good time in many places to really pray that the Lord will keep us safe. They might make supplication if they were about to face some personal difficulty. Remember, that's what Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. As he faced the cross, he made supplication before his Father. It was an agonizing prayer to the point where his sweat became as drops of blood. So if there's something terrible, facing death, something serious, maybe major surgery, we plead with God, we make supplication before him. Look at Isaiah chapter 26 in your sermon notes, verse 16 together. Lord, in trouble they have visited you. They poured out a prayer when your chastening was upon them. So when there was an intense suffering, they made supplication before God. There was something serious that was taking place. two lessons on this. Passion is a God-given emotion. Use it. It would be sad if you don't feel strongly about issues to pray for them, to pray passionately about them. If there's something, someone were about to die, and you just say, well, they don't believe, I talk to them. No, you pray passionately for that person. So do you know a loved one who does not know Jesus Christ and is older or sickly? Pray with passion. Are you unsure about a major decision you have to make in your life? Pray with passion. Are you frustrated with the way things are in your life? Pray with passion. Are you concerned about 100,000 babies that are killed each year in Canada? Pray with passion. Pray with an intensity of your spirit. Pray from deep within. Take some time to focus on that type of prayer. And number four, pray through the Spirit. Now, the Ephesian Christians not only needed to pray from within their spirits, but their prayer had to come through the Holy Spirit to get the strength to fight off the dangerous enemy. Look at what Jude 1:20 says. Together, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. You know, the problem in the church to which Jude was writing is that there were snakes within the church. Deceitful men who were stirring up trouble and endangering the very spiritual lives of people within. And he said, you need to build yourselves up. You got to fight snakes. It takes courage to fight snakes. I mean, nobody looks around and says, well, I'm not sure if it's poisonous or not. You get prepared, don't you? You want to read the book and find out which colors and what's the shape of the head before you go fighting snakes. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. He makes you brave. He teaches you. He comforts you. In fact, the Holy Spirit assists the Christians in their prayers every single day. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 15, and then verse 26 together. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So the Holy Spirit, in fact, purifies the believer's prayers and teaches him to pray and makes intercessions on his behalf. Look at what the Spirit does. Galatians again, chapter 4, verse 6, together. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. How are you able to trust that God is your Father and cry to him and trust him for help? The Holy Spirit. And that's why the Apostle Paul is saying, look, you need this armor. You need prayer in order to fight. But you've got to pray through the Holy Spirit. So two lessons. Don't let your prayers be dry. Your prayers will be dry if they come ritually without the Holy Spirit working. Ask the Holy Spirit to bless your words. Ask him to correct you when you say something incorrectly. Yeah, write down things for which you must pray. So it's not a dry ritual thing. That you're looking at all the different people. Take the prayer list that we send out every month and go through that thing. You have a month to go through all of those things. Lift them up before God and say, Lord, let your Holy Spirit work. For my prayer by itself means nothing. Your Holy Spirit must work. And while you're doing that, ask the Holy Spirit to comfort you as you fight. Fighting is hard. Fighting is dangerous. Ask him to put the right words in your mouth. Ask him to make you bold. In fact, these are the very things Jesus said he would do for you. Don't be afraid when you stand before kings. He will give you the right words. He will make you bold. His name will be the Comforter. You got the gifts. You've got the weapons. Use the weapons God has given to you. And then pray watchfully. Number 5, pray watchfully. The Ephesian Christians were challenged to pray watchfully, as prayer without work is weak. And this was the language of Jesus to his disciples just before he was captured and charged and convicted and crucified. He knew danger was coming, and they had to pray for help. But they also had to watch out for the dangers. You can see Jesus in Gethsemane in Matthew 26. But look at Luke 21, verse 36 together. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Yeah, there are lots of hardships coming your way, my disciples. But I want you to pray, but I also want you to watch. The word that is used here to describe watch describes the one who would pass the entire night without sleeping. Look at some other warnings too that you have in God's words. And by the way, when God repeats something, you should pay attention to it twice. And when he repeats it and repeats it and repeats it, pay attention to it four times. And he does many times because this is important. Yes, you must pray. But along with your prayer comes a watchfulness. A watchfulness. And you'll see in a minute. Let's read what I mean by that. Colossians chapter 2, 4 verse 2. Together, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Mark 13, 33. Together, take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. Luke 21, verse 36. Together, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Watch and pray and watch and pray and watch and pray. Well, the Ephesian Christians were challenged to watch out for the enemy because he was a dangerous, roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he posed a constant danger. So while you are to pray, you're also to open your eyes and see the danger. So you can avoid that danger. That's the point here. Let me show you in a couple of lessons. Pray that God will protect you from falling into the devil's trap. One of those traps might be an addiction. But while you pray that, and you must pray that, don't hang around people who are weak and addicted. That's the watch part. Move away from them. Hang around people who will challenge you to live well and to deal with some of the needs you have in a right way instead of resorting to drugs or alcohol or other forms of addictions. When you pray to God to provide a good spouse for you, you should. That's a good thing. But don't hang around people who only talk about money or how important they are, or they talk little about God. Hang around good people who will speak of faithfulness to God, who talk about loving God more than anyone else in the world, including you. So pray, but watch. This is a very important thing for you young people. And watch what's going on in your heart, in your home, in Ontario, in Canada. You have to pray, but you also have to fight. You have to know what the problems are in society. Sometimes we can end up in a bubble. We don't know what the political issues are of the day, the social problems. the international situation. You need to know these things so you can pray and act properly. So it's not just praying. Remember, secondly, the devil may come to you in a very sneaky way. That is his method of operating often. Sometimes he comes as a roaring lion, but sometimes he's a sneaky snake. And he might bring temptations sometimes in the strangest way, sometimes through a spouse or sometimes from preachers. Someone may have a nice suit and have Bible verses and have a cross in front, and sometimes that's where the biggest danger comes from. There's one case recently where in Assemblies of God, and they're supposed to be super spiritual and all of that in the United States, and they've now decided that they're going to open their offices to homosexuals. And here's the problem. If you don't follow along and you don't support this, then you're looked upon, oh, you're not inclusive, you're not very loving. The reality is, it's a sign of hate for the people who are living wickedly to tell them that it's okay. It shows you don't care anything about them. But the way society will treat you as if you are the wrong one for saying something that God says is wrong is wrong. You're supposed to ignore God and embrace the wickedness of people. See, Satan is a deceiver. Watch his traps. Watch his traps. By the way, the church that started doing this is a big church. They would always say, well, God spoke. And that's the beginning of trouble, right? Remember what happened in the Garden of Eden? And did God really say? Remember what happened to the prophet who was told, go straight back to your homeland. Don't stop and eat bread and drink water. What did the false prophet say? But another angel told me. And God wants you to come in. And that's where the deception comes. You need to know the word of God. And finally, number 6, pray for all believers. While it was normal for the Ephesian Christians to pray for their own and very real needs, and the devil was constantly attacking them to make them feel weak and even afraid, all of those things are true. At the same time, they still had to have sympathy for their brothers who needed help and therefore pray for them. See, brothers are prone to sin too. You're not the only one struggling with lust. You're not the only one struggling with covetousness. You're not the only one struggling with adulterous thoughts. Everyone struggles with sin, and you need to pray for them too, that they will be able to overcome their temptations. Remember Matthew Henry, you must not fight in detached parties. So that's why you have to pray for each other and challenge each other and help each other. Look at an example of the Apostle Paul with the Philippians when he challenged them to pray for him and how he expected that God would answer their prayers in Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. Together, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I know that this was done for my deliverance. Why? Through your prayer. See, Christian brothers are fighting for a similar cause, and the success of one is dependent upon the success of the other one. And that's why it's very dangerous if you are fighting by yourself. It doesn't matter where our brothers are. That's why we pray for those who are being persecuted. Because the success, their success, is dependent on us. Our success depends upon them praying for us. We work together in this, towards this end. And Ephesus was quite a remarkable place. There are people from all different kinds of backgrounds there. Nationality, race, age, sex. So male or female. And in all different conditions. There were slaves there. There were former idolaters. There were rich people. There were Romans. There were people from different backgrounds. But they were one. And that's why they need to pray for each other, to help each other and encourage each other. What lessons can we learn then from this reminder to pray for all believers? Well, when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, remember how he started? He didn't say, "My Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." He said, "Our Father," showing the unity of believers, the brotherhood of believers, the family relationship. And every Christian, no matter his state, how weak his doctrine might be, he is your brother. Yeah, we will disagree on different topics. You've heard about some, you'll hear some of them in the next sermon. But we remember who our brothers are, and we will fight for each other. Like the brother and sister may be having some battles at home, but if someone threatens one of the brother or sister, watch the two of them turn against that enemy. They don't say, "Well, we argue, so go ahead, pummel him." No, we stand up for each other because we are one in Jesus Christ. Second, because this is the truth, that we are of one blood, we are of one family, pray for each other in the church. We need your prayer, something we can't really live without. And here's the fact, there are many things we can't do. The Lord is telling us to go up against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual hosts and heavenly places. We can't fight that by ourselves. We need to be united, filled with the Spirit of God to fight. And so we must pray for each other. And look, if Jesus is daily praying for us, he knows we need it. You should be praying for each other also. And third, only those with hearts of stone are not moved to pray when they hear and see the suffering of their fellow brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. But knowing that your hearts are not of stone, the Lord has given you heart of flesh. Let me ask you this. How is your prayer for each other? It's easy to pray for your needs. We all have a long list of things we want from God. But how would your prayer for each other? Let's conclude. Praying always, the apostle says, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. The Ephesian Christians were called to put their last piece of their armor on, and that was prayer. They had to pray constantly. They had to pray for all things in every place and in every circumstance. They had to pray with passion, perseveringly. They had to pray with the Holy Spirit's help. They had to watch while they prayed, watching out for the coming dangers. And they had to pray for all believers, male, female, old, young, boy, girl, foreign, domestic, rich, poor. They had to pray for all. So brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, pray to your Heavenly Father because Jesus satisfied the Father's anger against you. There is no prayer without sacrifice. We go through Jesus Christ. That's why we close our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. He made sacrifice for us so we can go to the Father. So then pray to do the work the Lord has now called you to do. You need to keep strong to fight. You need to fight and conquer the enemies, and the enemies are not easy. So the challenge then is, what is your prayer life like? Only you can really answer that question. But it's usually one of the weakest points in most Christians' lives. I hope it is not for you. And finally, maybe you're not a Christian, but there are prayers being offered for you even now. We want to rescue you from Satan's clutches and bring you into God's family. God has given us the gospel. You'll hear about that next time, Lord willing, to use as a means of liberating people. Don't fight the pull of the Holy Spirit. Surrender and live. And live forever. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have given us your word to remind us to pray, to put on the armor so we can fight. The enemy is strong, but you are stronger. And you have given us everything we need. So cause us to be bold, to stand up for Jesus Christ, knowing he took the cross for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.